B-Pod Studios.
The following podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together.
This is PG with Roxanne Wilder.
Thanks for hanging out with us on the PG Parental Guidance Needed podcast. I have two very special guests with us today, Melissa Morrow and Stephanie Dawson, and they are with the Nest. You're with Celebrate Birth, yes. But also the nonprofit arm of that is the Nest Lakeland. .org. You can find it online. So thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Now, I got really excited because I was looking, you know, just browsing some articles online, and I saw that Lakeland, gotta love Bill Mutz.
Yes.
Bill Mutz, Lakeland mayor, he signed a proclamation endorsing breastfeeding in public. So this caught my eye, and as I read further in the article, that's how I found you, Melissa. Yes. And I thought to myself, I've got to talk to her because I love some of the things you said, you know, just about how American culture in general, it doesn't sit well with breastfeeding in public. And I experienced this. I didn't care, but I experienced it when I had my first daughter. So that's what we're going to get into a little bit today. But great to see both of you.
Thank you.
And what are both your backgrounds?
So I am a midwife. I own a birth center in Lakeland. It's been established for many years. And so I take care of women who are choosing natural birth, wanting to birth out of hospital in their home or the birth center. And from that, I'm also an IBCLC, so I do lactation consulting and help to promote breastfeeding in my community, obviously, through that. The Nest was a non-for-profit that I started 3 years ago just to provide space for families to learn and to grow and to be healthy and well.
And so the Nest sounds like a wonderful place, and we're going to get into all the challenges that you do face when you first start breastfeeding. Yeah. So it's much needed. And Stephanie, and I also have to mention, Melissa, you are a mother of six.
Yes.
You've done this
yes.
before.
And a
yes.
grandma of two.
Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Stephanie, you're a mom of two.
Correct.
And you're also a consultant at the Nest.
I'm a lactation counselor.
Counselor. Yeah. Okay. And what made you decide to want to do this?
I mean, I started working with Melissa at Celebrate Birth. I work in the office there for her. But then when she kind of filled everybody in on her vision of the Nest, I was like, oh, I want to be involved with that. Mm-hmm. I had such a hard time breastfeeding my first daughter. And I didn't have any support, and I didn't know who to turn to. But now I know, and I want to get certified. I want to be able to help moms, too. And so
that's great.
I did it, and here we are today.
That's great. So I have to tell you, my experiences when I first started breastfeeding, the good things mm-hmm. were the good thing. I should say the best thing. I mean, that girl came out and I'm kind of nervous on my second one because she might have a different personality. This chick is 2.5 years old and she's the hungriest, best eater I've ever known. So I showed right at birth, but she came out. She knew what she was doing.
Yes.
I was very lucky in that way. The bad thing, I'm so embarrassed to say this, but as a working mom, as an older mom, I truly did not understand what that first 3 months, first period of time was going to be like. I mean, I still had to-do lists that I thought I was going to, things I was going to accomplish while I was on my maternity leave.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm off. And I think I saw it best a year or so ago. I saw this woman who's a mom blogger. And so she says on Twitter, she's getting ready to have her second baby. She goes, I'm ready to hunker down. I'm not going to do anything except feed my baby and take care of myself for
Beautiful.
The next 3 months. And
yes.
I go, oh, that's how you're supposed to do it. So my daughter was one of those babies who you talked about. She lost weight in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't realize that you're basically feeding around the clock.
Yes.
That was, and I didn't realize the pain. So I want to talk about both of those two things. I mean, I went into this thinking, okay, was she going to eat every breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Not really that bad.
Yes,
but
yes.
I didn't understand.
Maybe a snack in between. Certainly not at night, right? You didn't think she was going to wake up to eat.
No way. So, Stephanie, I'll start with you on that. I mean, that's part of the education, right?
To
keep. I mean, do you have moms come in and say, "Oh no, my baby's lost a little weight"? That was me.
Absolutely, and in fact, it's common. And I think I am a little more surprised when I see a baby who didn't lose any weight.
Mm-hmm.
Pediatricians typically expect a baby to lose about 10%. That's still within kind of a normal limit. But we just want to make sure that the baby is back up to birth weight by 2 weeks.
Okay.
So there is some wiggle room there. And, you know, considering differences in birth practices, you know, maybe the baby or the mom had a lot of fluids during labor, and so her initial weight was kind of exaggerated. And so you kind of have to take some of that stuff into consideration when you're talking about weights with babies. But all of that can be taken care of by just having someone experienced and trained
to tell you what you need to do.
Yeah, to tell you what you need to do. And then kind of back to the whole, like, not doing anything for maternity leave. That's kind of an American thing to stay busy on maternity leave, I think. In other countries, they take care of their moms. And they keep them in their bedrooms for weeks and weeks. And they just say, your responsibility is this baby right now. So hopefully we can promote that change here in the U.S.
Yes. Okay, Stephanie, something else I want to ask you about is, of course, the pain associated with breastfeeding. And so this is my take on things. If you're a new mom and you decide you can't breastfeed, you don't want to, whatever, I don't judge any moms. You feed your baby the best way you can, whatever works for you and your family. But I think a lot of people go into it and don't realize it is going to be difficult. I mean, yes, it's natural. Some people have great success stories and great luck right from the get-go. And for others, it's more of a challenge. And one of those things that makes it difficult is that it is a little bit painful. So I experienced that. And I remember one of my doctors told me, my wife, every time the baby would latch down in those first couple of weeks, she would want to grab the carpet and rip it out from underneath her and just dig her fingernails into something.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what that 15 seconds or so, you have to endure that pain. When you start out, it's painful the whole time, and then it's just the 15-second latch on, and then you get used to it, and then it's fine. So that's my experience. What do you normally tell women when they're talking about, I'm trying to do this, but it's too painful?
So in the beginning, right after you've had your baby, you're probably going to experience some discomfort. It should never truly be painful, but, I mean, that's a new sensation, or at least a sensation that you haven't felt since your previous baby. So your body does kind of have to adjust back to that. But ultimately, pain should be explored by a professional. So there are lots of things that you can do. There's occupational therapy, speech-language pathologists. They tend to do a lot of great work for helping babies who might have something going on their mouth.
Really? So you could start it. I'd never thought about that.
Yeah. Any other issues?
Yeah, absolutely. Structural issues within the baby's mouth that might create pain. And so it just comes down to managing the pain, finding the source of it, and then working towards a solution to it. And actually, University of North Carolina, they have a protocol for breast pain. And so you can just kind of go through the chart and follow the lines to figure out where this pain is coming from and then start working toward a solution. And so for some moms, we can fix that problem within one visit. And then others, it might take a little bit longer. But if they really do want to breastfeed, there are solutions for the problems.
Sure. At the core of what you do is a desire, specifically with the Nest, is a desire to help women, families be healthier, children be healthier, babies be healthier. Yeah. And because when you breastfeed, you really are setting them on a good path with breastfeeding, and it's healthy for the mom too. Can we talk about some of those benefits?
Sure. Well, for the mom, I mean, it just continues the biology of having a baby. It keeps the brain functioning at a tapered level. There's no drop-off, so there's no big crashes with the hormone after birth, so that levels out. It decreases her chance for cancers later, breast and ovarian.
I read that. That's why I was trying to make it to a year.
Yes.
I read that statistic.
Yep. It helps the gradual weight loss, too, so it gets you back to a normal status of your body frame. It also helps with bonding, the emotions, the hormones that are released during that. So it is part of the love connection with your baby. It's not necessary to love your baby and breastfeed. It can't. Love is also subjective, so you have that. But biology tells us that the chemistry of the brain sets you in motion to be in love with your baby when you're breastfeeding.
Interesting. You know what's funny? To this day, I just did it the other night. I was putting my daughter to sleep, and she kind of was in that lazy phase where her eyes were just about to close, and she was looking right at me. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's the same look she used to give me when I was breastfeeding her.
Yes.
And they just kind of glaze over. But that's them bonding with you, too.
Yes. Yes. So there's those advantages. There's the financial advantages of it, of course. It just is what sets your body in motion to continue the process of parenting. For the baby, it's maintaining the gut health from a healthy birth. Mm-hmm. So much is coming up out in science about the microbiome and the microbiome affecting the gut health, and how the gut health is a precursor for all of our body systems, and whether how we're going to have disease, face disease, and
affects
cure ourselves.
Like Alzheimer's. Like
everything. Yes. Everything is affected. So the more we've studied that, and the argument for a long time was, well, you know, formula is feeding a baby. And yes, that's true. It's feeding a baby. But there's no way to replicate a live food. Mm-hmm. And breast milk is a live food. It changes every moment of the day to meet the need of that baby at that time. So it's just biologically setting the baby up for a great future.
I want to elaborate on that. I remember reading about some of the magic of that, where it really does match with what the baby needs. Somehow your bodies are communicating, and you make the right food for the baby. And it's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. I guess we don't. I mean, it's just set up that way.
it's really
hard to explain. There are lots of scientific details to it. But how it happens, we may never know how it happens. We just know now that it is happening. So if baby has come in contact with a bacteria that needs some antibodies, the mom's milk will help produce those for the baby in communication. If the mom is sick, those antibodies for that illness are going straight to the baby, so that they're in close proximity and the baby's protected from getting sick from that.
Mm-hmm.
And anything the mom's been exposed to over the course of her lifetime is being transferred to the baby as an inoculation against those things as well.
Ooh,
so the baby is
protected. Can you explain that
protected.
A little further, like an example of that? So you basically...
You're extending the life of the placenta, essentially. Like the placenta was doing it in utero, and now the milk is doing it.
So it's almost like, from a hereditary standpoint, you can pass on all the life you've lived and encountered different germs and things.
Yes.
You fought those germs. You can make sure your child doesn't need to fight them as hard as you did. They can fight the next batch of things coming their way.
Yes. Especially in the first few months.
Mm-hmm.
Babies start, you know, their own immunities after 3 to 4 months. And then they start, you know, getting in touch with the environment. But that's a protective measure during those early days when babies are so vulnerable to diseases and other infectious things.
Of course.
A short-term example would be like just a stomach bug.
Okay.
It happens all the time. The mom calls us and like, oh my goodness, I have this horrible stomach bug and I don't have anyone here to take care of my baby. Are they going to get sick too?
Right.
And the answer is no. And if they do, it's going to be in a much less severe case than what the mom has, because the bodies are communicating in that sense, and it is protecting the baby's gut and intestinal tract and all of that stuff. That's where we see a lot of the really noticeable benefits.
Right.
Because it's such a short term. Oh, that was cause and effect right there within
in the
that
initial phase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I have to throw this out there. While you reminded me, when I read a book all about gut health and your chances of having issues with gut health and thus brain health. It was something like brain health is tied to your gut health. And the risk factors that they brought up were not having been breastfed.
Yes.
That puts you in a higher category of having these XYZ risk factors. Okay, another thing. My brain is going a million places because it's such an interesting topic. But I have this weird thing. I had to Google it, and it wasn't that big of a deal. What is it called? Dysphoric letdown.
Yes.
I had dysphoric letdown.
Yeah.
Okay, so
It
wasn't a horrible thing. And to bring everybody up to speed, go ahead and describe what dysphoric letdown is.
It's a chemical reaction in the brain to the hormones of letdown, and it causes you to feel depressed and sad.
But
very
sad. Here's the weirdest thing. It only lasts for 30 seconds.
Yes.
It's just a wave.
Yes.
And so the way I would describe it, I kept noticing it. It's not depression like, oh my gosh, I want to go jump off a bridge. It's like a nostalgic depression, like a wistful, you know, you have a good memory and you think of that good memory, but it makes you sad.
Yes.
That's the feeling. And it's not tied to anything. It's just chemicals in your brain.
Right.
And it's 30 seconds, your milk comes in, and then it's gone. And I said, this is the weirdest phenomenon, but you can't do anything about it, I guess.
Yeah.
No, there's not
much to do about it other than to self-talk and to recognize. I do have women who have been very bothered by it. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like a gloom and doom experience, right? More than a sadness. And so, or it triggers some other emotion in them or memory in them that leads to a longer session.
I see. Okay.
Or they feel afraid. They feel afraid.
Oh, wow.
So in those cases, talking them through what's happening with their body and then, mm-hmm. you know, addressing some of the other outlying issues that may be leading them down that path and getting them to talk to themselves and say, okay, this is just a momentary experience. Mm-hmm. This is because my brain is at, just rewriting the script of what's happening to feel safe. Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting thing because, it's how our mind opens our heart, right?
Yes.
The mind is opening the heart when you're nursing your baby. And so you feel vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You are vulnerable to all the things of the earth and you want your baby to be safe. And so there's this protective bringing in of the baby, yes, while it's nursing and you're feeling afraid for it. Like it's a protective kind of stimulant.
Wow. Wow. And to me, it was an interesting phenomenon. It didn't bother me too terribly, but it happened every time, just about. And so I just thought to myself, oh my goodness, your brain chemicals are so powerful. Yeah. And yes, sometimes your emotions lead those chemicals and sometimes those chemicals lead your emotions.
Yes.
So very, very interesting. Okay. What about the stigma that we receive in today's day and age or that still exists? I'll share my experiences. I was, you know, I'm never going to pull my boob out and have people see something they shouldn't see. And I feel like every woman who breastfeeds is like that too. It's, you're not trying to do a show. If you're trying to do a show, you're going to wear a low cut tank top. And we see a lot of that, you know?
Yes.
So
without the baby,
baby. So it's just simply, you're out to dinner. You're like, I've got to get out of the house. This is for the safety of my marriage working out because yes, we need some time away. We've got cabin fever. And so we're out in public and then, okay, you know what? It's time for my baby to eat. She's on her schedule. She's hungry, whatever it is, let's go. And you can do it a discreet way, but I was shocked from both men and women, sometimes the dirty looks that you would get or a little comment. I got one comment from a server one time and I shouldn't probably tell you this, but it's probably because I had a glass of wine with me too, but sorry. That's a whole other story. Like she couldn't believe I was breastfeeding and had a glass of wine, but stressful day. So I feel like it's something that we need to just move past, you know, like how is it that in today's day and age, people still look at that as something that is a negative in any way whatsoever?
I do work and live in a bubble. So I'm attached to lots of women who it's normal. Like it is normal for me, but that's only a small percentage of the population.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of the population have mixed feelings about it. They feel uncomfortable and it's like, well, maybe you need to check your sexuality before you inflict that on this function
somebody
that I'm doing with my baby. I'm just
trying
to do good work. I'm trying to be a good parent here. And this is the way I'm choosing to do it. Like, and no judgment on how other people will parent their children. I don't know where we lost that in our culture.
Yes, that's so weird.
I don't know where it ever came to be. I run across pictures from even the 20s in factories where women were being brought their babies and they're all in their dress up suits, you know, and hose, and they're still got a breast out feeding their baby. For me, that's not shocking because of the environment I'm in. But if someone else sees that, they say terrible things on social media about those photos. And All of Italy is plastered with pictures of the Madonna feeding the baby.
Mm-hmm,
it seems to be quite normal. The Pope has endorsed it. Our mayor has endorsed breastfeeding in Lakeland, which is fantastic. It's just to say this should be normal. Why are we in this day and age in scientific study where this is a really important factor for wellness? Why are we still having this discussion? And I have had people during this journey over the last year trying to press forward. Say, well, what's the big deal, Melissa? Why are you doing this? I'm like, because it's still a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a problem that we need to come to grips with, and we need to just start loving on our mamas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard enough to be a parent at all, much less give you a hard time about doing
sure.
something good.
For sure. So in my business, I try my best. In some platforms, it's a little different, but in most, I try to keep my political views, for instance, to myself. Sure. I don't want to offend anyone. Everybody has their own opinion. But this is one of those things, it's not a political issue, but it is a societal issue. Mm-hmm. And I feel so outspoken about it. Like, I just want to tell people, get a life, you know? But then I talk to other people, and even men who say, oh, that makes me uncomfortable. And again, yeah. I hate to say it, but I'm going to go back to what you just said, Melissa. You have to look at yourself and your reasons for feeling that way, because it's just a woman trying to feed her child at that moment in time. Yeah. And there's nothing sexual about it. And if you're extrapolating something sexual, you know, just don't look. Just don't look.
Yeah.
And I think that it's gotten to the point where you could come up with all kinds of ideas where this comes from. But I thought of this example the other day. There aren't a lot of movies or television shows where even sexuality or a good, healthy romantic relationship is highlighted.
Right.
It's all kind of deviant or pushing the envelope. And so breastfeeding is one of those things that is pure. It is innocent. So we don't talk about it in movies and TV because it's not exciting enough to.
No.
So then when people see it, then it's like, oh my gosh, I'm shocked to see this. This is crazy.
Yeah.
So, Stephanie, what kind of feedback have you gotten from clients or things that you've seen?
It seems to be a lot of the same stuff that you've mentioned. I think society has some weird obsession with assigning people tasks or roles. And if we try to deviate from those in any sense, it's shocking to them. And so I think society has created this picture of women as a way to sell things or to market something. And a lot of times it's in a very seductive way.
That's a good point.
Allowed to use my breasts to sell a car or a hamburger. Ooh. Or who knows what else. But heaven forbid I try to feed my baby. And so I think until people can kind of get over their obsession with like the marketing of things, we're not going to make
a
lot of headway.
In general.
Yeah. Like,
not that we need to all walk around naked or anything, like, but in Italy, as you referenced, or in Europe, it's not, the human body is more exalted. It's not like, taboo or over-sexualized.
Right. Yeah. That would be my encouragement to any client that I'm working with, is just recognize that your body is doing the thing that it was created to do. And own that. Take pride in that. Like, it's a really cool thing in this day and age that you are successfully breastfeeding your baby. There are so many obstacles that you're going to come across when you're trying to establish breastfeeding. And so if you can make it over those humps, like, you need to own that. Like, take pride in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, you know, when one mom who might be very timid, like maybe it's her first baby and this is her first outing after she's had her baby, if she sees another mom breastfeeding in public, it's going to convince her that she can do it too.
Right.
And I think we need to get there as society.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I think I was just kind of, it's just my personality, but I did not care one bit.
Good.
If people gave me bad looks,
sure.
I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
So because you're in, maybe part of that was my attitude, but also you're in a daze. You're just trying to get from point A to point B.
Yeah. You're surviving at that point.
One other thing I want to mention before we talk about your wonderful event that's coming up on August 3rd is I want to talk about postpartum depression a little bit. I mean, there are so many things we could chat about, but with postpartum depression, I noticed I had mine after I stopped breastfeeding. 3 months, boom, it hit. And it hit like the same time my hair came out.
Right.
And that's when I got depressed. And so I don't know what you can do. I mean, are there nutritional things? Is it talk to people? What are some advice that you've given before to women who are dealing with that? Because like you said, the breastfeeding kind of care keeps you going. Keeps you going in that maternal state.
Yeah. I mean, you need to talk to someone if you're feeling down or can't get dressed or having emotions to see, is it clinical or is it something you can talk through?
Mm-hmm.
Because clinical depression is something completely different.
Sure.
And what are the emotions behind all of that? So piecing that
vanity.
Out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, losing hair. As it turns out, that can happen later too. So hold on. It just... You have to sort out, and you also have to see, you know, are you isolated from community too, like other moms? There is a chemical like falling off Mm-hmm. I remember distinctly two of my daughters wanted to stop nursing at 18 months, and I thought the world was coming to an end. And I chased them around trying to get them to nurse because I was just sobbing.
Right. Because
body was triggering my brain. And I was still feeling I was mourning a loss, mm-hmm. too, on top of it. Like, it's chemical and it's a mourning season. We're going on to the next stage. So you just have to, you know, reason out with somebody, hopefully a friend, even. It is basically down to community. So everyone doesn't need a mental health therapist. But if it becomes more than that, you might want to sit down and have a chat with a mental health therapist. Some women do require some chemical assistance with medications and or nutrition, sunlight. We're in a hurry in our culture. Terrible hurry. Mm-hmm. Let's just, you know, throw that in the bag. And we're required to do X, Y, and Z all day long and look great at it and be smart and, you know, have a million things.
Everything's fine. Nothing to see here.
Your house is in order. And even if no one sees your house and it's not in order, you still feel guilty. Like, it's just a terrible pressure we have. So it's not like parenting, mothering, nursing is not just this enveloped, wonderful experience anymore. It's a task driven thing to do, and it's very sad. And we don't have sister friends that we walk around with and commune with every day either. We're not in a communal society. Cultures where that is happening, they don't have postpartum depression. They don't have falling off
interesting.
Of nursing.
Interesting.
And shortly after nursing their baby, probably for 3 or 4 years, they're getting pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
So the hormone shifts are not as drastic.
Oh, I see.
It's a completely different chemistry.
Okay. Yeah, that is fascinating when you look at things from a cultural standpoint like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the event that's coming up?
The event.
August 3rd.
It's so fun. This is our 7th year of the 10 years that the Global Latch On has been held. We get together with a group of moms in our community, and we do this event. We have a jumpy house. We have food. We have raffles and goodie bags, and we highlight the mamas that are presently doing this wonderful thing for their children. And so they latch on. There's a time schedule at 10:30 sharp. We raise our hands once babies are latched. We count them. We report back to the international organization. And globally, this is happening.
That's so cool. Yeah.
The same day, same time, 24 hours in that day, that period. So we know ongoing how many women are promoting breastfeeding as a normal event and how important it is. Yes.
Very cool. So if anyone wants to participate in that, they need to go to your website to find out more.
Yep. They can go to the website, thenestlakeland.org. They can find us on Facebook as well, The Nest of Lakeland. We're on there. They can just show up next Saturday at 9 a.m. and get settled in and be part of the fun. It's at Haas Market in downtown Lakeland. We're holding it there. It's a beautiful facility. We're grateful to be there, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Love it. And we can also find you for more information about you at Celebrate Birth.
Yes.
And so I just love talking with both of you, Melissa,
thank you.
Stephanie. Thank you. We talked mostly today about breastfeeding, but my goodness, I have tons of birthing questions and pregnancy questions. So hopefully, I know it's a haul from Lakeland, but maybe you'll call in sometime. We can talk again.
I would love that. Yes. Anytime.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.